Open your Bibles, if you will, for a few moments tonight. I'm not going to keep you very long. The 90th Psalm is where I want to start tonight. Psalm 90, verse 10 and verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 10 and verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away." Verse 12. "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." You know, when you boil it all down, this is what it's all about. You can either live a wasted life, or you can live, as the psalmist suggests here in verse 12, a wise life. And what I want to suggest to you tonight is, whether you live a wasted life or a wise life depends upon the path or the way or the trail you choose. I find it interesting in American history that down through the years, there have been a lot of very famous trails that people have walked. There's the Oregon Trail, the Chisholm Trail, the Natchez Trace. These ancient old trails were our nation's first interstate system before there were ever states. No matter which trail you're talking about, history and human experience says it's wise to stay on the trail. For example, if years ago you were going out to the Pacific Northwest, you would follow the Oregon Trail. You would just stay on that trail. If you lived in Tennessee, for example, and you wanted to take wagon loads of, say, cotton or tobacco or soybean, and you wanted to take them to New Orleans, you would follow the Natchez Trace all the way. You didn't have to. Now, you could just strike out and blaze your own trail, but that would be rather foolish when there was a trail already there. And those who had gone before you had marked the way. And most importantly, it would be the trail that would take you exactly where you wanted to go. So it just was smart if you stayed on the trail. So these American trailblazing pioneers knew what they were doing. And they marked the trail and made it easier for us. Now, let's segue that into spiritual terms. Maybe you've never thought about that in a spiritual sense, but there is a spiritual sense in which you are on the trail right now. You may be on the right trail, you may be on the wrong trail, but either way, you're walking a path. You're walking a trail. Now, if you're on the wrong trail, you still have time to get back on the right one. I suggest you hurry. If you're on the right trail, then there's always the word of caution. Because you can be on the right trail today and be off of it and on the wrong trail tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. "Therefore take heed lest he fall," says the scripture there, because it is very easy to lose sight of the trail and fall away. The point is, the Christian life can be compared to a trail. Now, Paul uses another analogy on a couple of different occasions, as well as the Hebrew writer. He uses the analogy of a race. The Christian life is a race. We'll use the analogy tonight a little different. We'll tweak that a little bit and call it a trail. Because, ladies and gentlemen, every day we have a choice whether or not we're going to stay on the trail. You ever walk through a cemetery and look at the grave markers? Every one of them tell a story. You have the person's name, you have their date of birth, and then you have the date of their death. But that's not really the story. The real story of their life happens between the date of their birth and the date of their death, and it's marked by a little dash. That little horizontal line in between birth and death. And that dash represents the whole of their life. Whether their life was long or very short. Whether they had a very happy life or a tragic life. Whether their life was successful or whether their life wasn't successful. It's all summed up by that little dash. The dash represents somebody's life. The dash is the trail of their life. Doesn't matter how old you are. You're somewhere on the trail. You're somewhere in the process of carving out that little dash between your birth and your death. If you're a younger person, maybe you're just starting out on the trail of life. If you're in your 20s, maybe you are now through school. Maybe you are embarking upon a career. Maybe you're starting a family. That's where you are on the trail. If you're in your 30s, maybe you've got an armful of kids and a mortgage and maybe more commitments than sometimes you can handle, but you're definitely on the trail. If you're in your 40s, you're in the middle stage of your journey and you're trying to figure out, how can I make the latter half of my journey better than the former? Or maybe you're in your 50s. And you wake up one day and suddenly you think about, wait a minute. When my dad was 50, he was old. That kind of hits you. You ever do that? Am I the only guy who does that? Tries to figure out, now wait a minute. When my dad, and sometimes you're like, maybe I don't even want to go there. When you're 60s, the thoughts of retirement maybe start rolling around in your head a little bit. You start thinking about all of that. When you're in your 70s and your 80s, maybe you are retired by now, and you too are beginning to wonder what the future holds. Here's the point. One thing we all have in common, you're somewhere on the trail. Some people are beginning their journey. Some people are halfway through their journey. Some people are coming to the end of their journey. You're somewhere on the trail. Now look in the 71st Psalm. I love the 71st Psalm because I tell you why. Psalm 71 reminds me of a lone hiker on a winding mountain path as dusk begins to approach. And he's been walking a long time. He's been walking all day. And he's been going up one switchback after the other, and there have been rocks in his path. His path has not always been easy, but in the 71st Psalm, it's as if he reaches a point in the trail in which he has some kind of vista. And he drops his backpack, and from the vantage point on the trail, he can look back down the trail and see where he's been. He can look at where he is now from a great vantage point, but he can also look ahead and he can see where it's going. Look in verse 5 and verse 6. By the way, I made a mistake in the handout. I talk about David being the author of this psalm. We don't know who wrote this psalm. In the superscription of the song, David is not mentioned. And so it's really incorrect to say that it was written by David, although it's very Davidic in its content, and many of the things said here would lead you to believe David wrote that. But just a note if you want to be particular about that. All right, verse 5 and verse 6. Notice he looks back down the path of his past. Verse 5, verse 6. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are the confidence from my youth. You see that? He's looking back. Verse 6, for I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. We read the passage sometimes, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Well, this man has done that. And this man looks over the trail of his past and he realizes God has been with me every step of the way. I am where I am on the trail of life because God has brought me to this place. And then in verse 7 and verse 8, he looks around at his present circumstances. He says in verse 7, I have become a marvel to many. For you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. The author is not a kid anymore. He's not just starting out on his journey. He's been walking a while. He's a full-fledged adult. He looks back to where he has been, but he looks to where he is. And it is amazing to him how quickly life has reached this point. But once more, God has been his refuge. God has been with him all the way. And then beginning in verse 9, he looks up the trail. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Skip ahead to verse 18. Even when I am old and gray, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. It's like he looks up the trail of old age, the trail of declining years when his strength may fail. He's had the energy to walk up the trail to this point in his life, but he understands the years will eventually begin to take their toll, and he knows that proceeding on from here will just get even more difficult. He's realistic enough to know that, like it or not, he's coming to the end of the trail. And his prayer in the psalm is that he will be as faithful to the Lord in his latter years as he was in the former years. Now, just like the author of Psalm 71, we're there too. And as his trail was fraught with challenges, his trail no doubt had ups and downs, his trail at times had great vistas, but also took him through low valleys. So it is with us. As we walk the trail of life, we face monotonous miles, sometimes punctuated by tragedy. That's just the way it is. And that can be very scary and very uncertain. If you don't realize, God has been with me to this point. God has got me through all of that. God's going to be with me from here on. I may not know what is ahead. I may not be able to see what is around the next bend as the trail disappears from view. In fact, James says that in James 4 and verse 14. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. And so I look ahead, but I see the trail curving around the mountain, and I have no idea what I will see when I get there. But even though I can't see into the future, God can. And it is a comfort for me, just like undoubtedly a comfort for the author of the 71st Psalm, to understand, even though I'll be going on and walking ahead, that God's going to walk with me. And that I do not walk on the trail all by myself. You know, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the promise of Scripture, God says, I will never desert you, I will never leave you. So I am not going to be walking alone. And that's important. A few years ago, there were 10 of us guys, and we were walking in Glacier National Park up in northwestern Montana.
And the ranger had told us that morning that there had been some grizzly bear activity in the area, and just stay together. And he said that as you walk along, talk and make noise. Well, that wasn't any problem for us because we all talked, and we thought, okay, there's 10 of us, so I think we're safe. And so we went on ahead, and we walked that trail that day. And there was, as we walked along, evidence, I'll just leave it at that, evidence that there was, in fact, bears in the area. And so we sat down and had lunch at a beautiful waterfall, all 10 of us, and just enjoyed that. And a lone hiker came along. He was all by himself, which is not very smart to do in that particular area. But he was all alone. He was a young, cocky college kid. No offense. From Quebec, Canada. And he spoke with a very thick French accent. And he sat down and shared lunch with us. And then he got up to leave. And we said to him, we said, you're welcome to walk with us. If you want to stay with us, you're welcome to go on. We were heading on up the trail to an iceberg kind of lake. With a great view and all that kind of thing. And we said, you're welcome to continue to walk with us. And he would have nothing of it. He said, ah, Americans. And he kind of blew us off, you know, that way. And off he went, gone, by himself. About 15 minutes later, we rounded a curve, and this cocky kid from Quebec was turned around, and he was running back in our direction. And his face was full of fear. And I learned a new French word. Bear. And suddenly that cocky kid decided he would walk the rest of the trail in a group. It's not always smart to hike by yourself. And God says, listen, on the trail of life, you don't have to hike by yourself. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to go off without you. As the psalmist looks back down his trail, he realized God has been with him the whole time, just like God has been with you the whole time. And as he looks ahead, he realizes the same God's going to be with me there too. By the way, God's marked the trail. You don't have to wonder where we're going. He doesn't leave us clueless as to how to live and what we're supposed to do. The scripture is full of signposts, directional arrows, a GPS to get us where we need to go. Now, it's interesting to me, the Bible doesn't use the word trail, but it uses the word path. Back in shepherd days, perhaps path was the better word. In our day of hiking and exploration and outdoor adventure, suppose maybe trail would be the better word. It really doesn't matter whether you're talking about path or you're talking about the trail, because I'll tell you, they're going to tell you again and again and again, stay on the trail. In the first Psalm, let's look at some. In Psalm 1:1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. Could we take the word path and make it trail? He says, don't stand in the trail of sinners. Don't go that way. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the trail of life. Who will make, God will make that known. In Psalm 27:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path, or level trail. Psalm 119:34, verse 35. Psalm 119:34 and 35. Give me understanding that I may observe your law, and keep it with all of my heart. Make me walk in the, let's substitute, trail of your commandments. He says, for I delight in it. At one more, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light along my trail. Trail. There's another word scripture uses instead of trail. It uses the word way.
The New American Standard Version that I use uses the word way 584 times.
I'll give you two. Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Could we substitute trail? He who watches his trail, he who stays on the trail preserves his life. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way, trail, which may seem right to a man, but the end thereof is the way, trail, of death. And didn't Jesus talk about that? In Matthew chapter 7 in verses 13 and 14. Didn't he say something about that? Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus said most people aren't walking on the right trail. Most people take off down the big, wide, popular trail. The problem with that, said Jesus, is it's not going to take you where you need to go. You can follow the crowd, and most people do, and they don't think about where their destination's going to be. They just follow the crowd. But Jesus says, wait a minute, the destination is destruction. This trail, the wide trail, he says, is a trail of tears. It is a trail of a life of regret where someone eventually looks back and realizes I've wasted my life. He said, listen, the narrow trail is the one you want to find. It's not the freeway that accommodates the crowd with landscape medians and all of that kind of thing. The narrow trail is not always the easy trail. It might be rocky. It might be steep. It might take you through the valleys of the shadows of life. But he says, stay on it, because it's the right trail. The bottom line is, all of us walk a trail. Jesus said, you better make sure you're on the right one. Now let's go back where we started in Psalm 90 and verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So I go back to what I said a while ago. You can either live a wise life or you can live a wasted life. It all depends on which trail you decide to walk. But we need to remember, we never know when we're coming to the end of the trail. A person who's in his 20s or her 20s, for example, may have 50, 60 years ahead of them. But maybe not. But even if you have 50 or 60 years ahead of you, I will tell you, and there's others here tonight who will tell you, it'll go by just like that. I see these little kids running around. I hate to tell you, but you're going to be going to high school graduation before you know it. And they're going to be in college, and they're going to be married, and you're going to be a grandpa or grandma. And your kids are going to have kids, and they're going to grow up too. And one day you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, where did it go? All of which says it's important to stay on the right trail, because you're not on the trail for very long. Here is the trail of life. Here is eternity, which, by the way, has no end. You better make sure you're on the right trail, because you're not on it very long. We sing the song of invitation tonight. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's where it starts. To commit your life to Him. and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, be born again, cleansed by his blood, and you can be a Christian, and you start the journey. That's not the ending place, it's the beginning place. But you have to begin. And that's where Jesus says you must begin. Can we help you tonight? Won't you come while we stand and sing together?